Bottom line, his work ethic sucked. Okay? Now, if he wanted to be in this band and be a team player, he would be here right now.
Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, Cape 57, which is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks with over 180,000. It's been that for a while. It's got to be almost 200,000. Let's say that. Almost 200,000 titles to choose from across all genres. They have everything you could be looking for. And for you, listeners and viewers of Cape, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial. So you can try out their service, see what it's all about. I listen all the time on my Audible app on my Android phone. So that's my preferred way of listening. And this week, I recommend, as your free download, Red, My Uncensored Life in Rock by Sammy Hagar, shockingly, because it's probably the best autobiography I've ever read / listened to. So, how do you get your hands on this good free stuff? You go to audibletrial.com/cape and sign up. Get your free audiobook, start your free 30-day trial, and see what it's all about. Once again, audibletrial.com/cape, audibletrial.com/CAPE. And get on it. And listen on your smartphone. Listen while you're sitting in traffic. If you're in LA like me, you're in traffic all the time. Listen, get smarter, learn something, enjoy yourself. Learn more about what we'll be talking about today. And joining me today on the show, Cape stalwart, Sherry Bass. Welcome
Hello.
Back. Hello. And as you might have guessed, we are here to talk about the endless saga of Dokken. No, we're going to be talking about Van Halen.
Woo!
For pretty much the whole hour. So if you're not interested, best tune out now. Really quickly, though, before we get started with that, a couple of things. First of all, it was brought to my attention that Cape 50, which I did with Sherry as well, was the episode we did about, for the majority of it was about B.B. King, because he passed away days before we recorded that show. It is currently, the video episodes, as you probably know, are also available on YouTube. And at the moment, Cape 50 is not available. It's currently blocked in all countries because of The Thrill Is Gone being used in the intro and outro. And I played a clip and we talked a little bit over Sweet Little Angel, mm-hmm. which is live at the Regal. Because of usage with both songs, the video is currently blocked in all countries on YouTube. That could change. It might not change. And am I going to recut the video and remove those songs? No, because the middle section where we're talking about Sweet Little Angel, I'd have to take out that entire section because the YouTube algorithms picked up on the song. So I'd have to edit that whole section and I'd have to swap out the music at the beginning and end. And there's probably stuff going on right now with B.B. King's estate in right. regard to who owns what. And that's probably what, because it was fine. It was available when I posted the video 7 weeks ago, and now it's not. So I don't know if there's a rights issue. There's certainly a lot going on with streaming rights, digital rights, and everything. So as of now, it's currently blocked. I'm not going to fix it. Hopefully it will become unblocked, but the episode's still available on iTunes and on chrisabalo.com. So you can listen to the episode. You're not missing out on too much. We didn't do anything exceptionally visually. not that jumps out at me anyway.
No.
When we were talking about it. So
I wasn't swinging from the pole or anything.
I know. Not that time.
No.
That may happen today, considering some of the songs we're going to be talking about. So this better be on there. No. Well, considering there's going to be some music rather played tonight on this show. So I'm going to still create the video and attempt to upload it to YouTube if it gets flagged or if there are any issues, because I'm going to be playing some music clips of songs by Van Halen and the Van Halen extended family, let's say, then if it's blocked, it's blocked. I'm not going to put up a video version now, maybe down the line. But if you're listening to this, that may be the only way you can get this episode, because considering the topic to edit around it, it's kind of pointless, because then you're getting a shortened video version of two people talking about things sitting in front of microphones, which, and that's fine, because people still, you know, when it comes to the videos, for the first few episodes of Cape, you may or may not know this already, but we didn't post the first few episodes. We started posting at Cape 37, started doing the live show here at Skid Row Studios at Cape 32, which was back in January. And I wasn't crazy about the video thing, number one, because I'd never done it before. I'd just done an audio show, so I kind of didn't see the point of the video. Not the point, but my logic was, who wants to look at people sitting around talking into microphones? Fast forward to last week, Sherry and I are at Buffalo Wild Wings having a snack after Terminator Genesis, which was great, by the way. And if you've ever been to a Buffalo Wild Wings, there are monitors at every angle. There's a TV at every single angle. And
bad for ADD.
It's totally bad for ADD.
Oh my gosh.
If you can't focus on conversation. And the music was pumping when we were there too. It was obnoxiously loud. And when we actually were seated about a minute and a half later, it was actually taken down quite a bit. So we were able to hear each other. So somebody must have said something. Otherwise we would have. Anyway, I believe it was ESPN or there are like 16 ESPNs now. So who can keep track? But there was one of the shows was, I don't know if it was a radio show or a satellite radio show or a podcast or whatever it was, but one of the sports recap shows was an audio medium, but they were broadcasting it on ESPN. Same thing, dudes with cans on, like we're wearing right now, talking into microphones about whatever was going on in sports. And that's being aired on a cable network. So it's not that way. And the fact that people actually watch the videos of Cape and enjoy them too, and I'm glad they do. And since it's kind of built into the program here at Skid Row Studios, all the more reason to post them. And people like it, so that's one of the reasons the option's available. But at first, I was kind of like, who's going to want to sit and watch people talking to microphones? But if cable networks have shows with people sitting around talking to each other, airing for several hours a day, then all right, I guess it's not that weird.
Whatever works.
I know. So also want to thank everybody after the announcement last week about the new stuff. Aside from Audible, you can go to chrisabalo.com and bookmark and shop through our Amazon banner. And without you spending a single penny more, Amazon will give us a taste of your purchase, and that money will go to pay for Cape, because they're engineers working here at the studio. The studio costs money, the time to come here. All that adds up, and Amazon is good enough to be part of this independent production. And if you go to chrisabalo.com, click support the show, and clear your browser's cookies before you do this, click on the Amazon banner at chrisabalo.com, bookmark it, and use that as your go-to Amazon banner. And every time you make a purchase, you'll be supporting the show, which is great. And also some people taking advantage of the PayPal button as well, doing some PayPal donations. So that is much appreciated. So thank you to everybody who sent donations in the first week. I was very, very flattered, but people have been asking about it. So it was high time, especially now having done the show for, it's coming on 6 months already, been doing the show here at the studio. It's crazy. So thank you all for your continued support. It's been a blast. All right, let's get down to it. I've discussed Van Halen at length times before, because it seems to be an ongoing issue. And as I recommended, the Sammy Hagar autobiography, Red, that came out in 2011, and that's before it was after one quote-unquote reunion, to use the term loosely, tour with David Lee Roth.
Right.
With Eddie's son Wolfgang on bass. And since then, Van Halen did one album and one tour, and their tour kicked off actually last night, their current summer/fall tour. It's going to wrap up in early October. So it's just a hair under 3 months that they're going to be out touring with David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen, Alex Van Halen, and Wolfgang Van Halen, which since that lineup came out, I've been referring to as the Van Halen family band featuring David Lee Roth, the rock and roll clown. Because it's not a Van Halen reunion because Michael Anthony is not included. More on that in a little bit.
Right.
And it's literally the Van Halen family band. There's three Van Halens in the band, which is fine. And featuring David Lee Roth, now more appropriate than ever, because has been made abundantly clear, which it's a whole bunch of events spiraled from a recent interview Eddie did with Billboard magazine, which inspired a ton of reaction from many, many, many people. Shockingly, said a few things that, well, I guess aren't too much of a surprise. Surprised certain people, but wasn't a surprise if you've kind of been following the ongoing nonsense. First off, I do recommend, because I listened to them recently, I recommend it, period, because I listen all the time, but I recommend you check out the Eddie Trunk podcast, which is on podcastone.com and iTunes and wherever you find your podcast. He's great. And I've listened to him since I was in high school because his home station is Q104.3 out of New York. And I used to listen to that because, you know, growing up in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it's a classic rock station. And he'd always have cool artists in. And he would always play great songs. And, of course, then came that metal show. And now he's on, you know, he has Trunk Nation on the Hair Nation channel on Sirius XM. So he's a bunch of stuff going on. And a weekly podcast. He recently spoke to Sammy Hagar. And back in around September, I believe, spoke to Michael Anthony, both formerly of Van Halen. I do recommend those two interviews if you want to hear the truth and hear Eddie Trunk, who's been doing the broadcasting for 30 plus years and is a massive rock fan. If you want to hear him ask serious questions and find out exactly what's going on, what happened with the fallout, since which chances are you're up to date on what's going on. I'm not going to assume you know nothing about Van Halen, but you know we'll touch on things here and there. Anyway, check out those two interviews. If it sounds like some of my opinions are parroting those of Eddie Trunk, it's because I agree with him on the majority of things he says.
Well, give him the scoop, because some people may not know about the whole Van Halen dispute.
All right, let's give the very, very abridged version. Okay, so Van Halen started out in Pasadena in the early to mid-70s, released their debut album in 1977, which was Eddie and Alex Van Halen, Michael Anthony on bass and background vocals, and David Lee Roth as frontman. 1985-ish, maybe late 1984, Roth exited the band, kind of questionable as to whether he quit or got fired, which is a recurring theme of this band. Enter Sammy Hagar, who had an illustrious solo career and had fronted Montrose as well for at least two albums. I think it was only two.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was kind of big hits. I Can't Drive 55, which everybody knows. And One Way to Rock a few years before that, which pretty much everybody knows. And his single Red, his song Red, that's where the Red Rocker moniker came from. Right. His fans kind of referring to him as that. And so he just owned it. And they were with, the band had Sammy fronting till 96.
Like 11 years, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. He joined in 85, because 5150 album, their first album with Sammy, came out in 86. Mm-hmm. 96, as is the pattern, the band says he quit. Sammy says he got fired. There you go. They briefly reunited with David Lee Roth to record two new songs for a best of collection. Never toured, never did anything. They did an appearance on MTV, on the MTV Music Awards in 96. First time they'd appeared with Roth since the split more than 10 years before. Never toured, never did anything. Gary Cherone, who's the singer for the band Extreme, everybody knows More Than Words, their hit ballad, even though it's probably not even in the 10 best Extreme songs. Well, maybe 10 best, but there are way better Extreme songs. But it's a ballad, so it did well. Anyway, he sung on Van Halen 3 and toured with the band and then was fired from the band in 99. The band did absolutely nothing until 2004 when they reunited with Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony, did what has been their only proper reunion tour. Because it was 100% of the lineup from a certain era of the band. They toured, had an overall abysmal tour in 2004 because of Eddie being drunk off his ass every night, which is a fact. You can listen. People got really mad with Sammy Hagar complaining about, or just looking at him dishing dirt. You can go on YouTube and see videos of concerts from the 2004 reunion. Eddie's drunk off his ass. His playing is horrible. His singing is barely that. You could tell he's way, way out of it. And anybody who went to that tour, I've never read a positive comment about Eddie Van Halen's performance on that tour. And it's legendarily has been an alcoholic for a long time. Has been clean and sober for years now, which is great. And he appears to be too, because he looks healthy. He looked way unhealthy. He was emaciated and just looked haggard on the 2004 tour. Anyway, nothing ever came of that. Oh, I'm sorry. They recorded three new songs with Sammy for another best of collection they released. And then nothing happened after that. Apparently a couple more attempts at getting together with David Lee Roth. They did get together for a quote unquote reunion tour with the lineup that's currently now touring. They did some dates in 2007, 2008, released a new album, A Different Kind of Truth, in 2012. Did a bit of a tour on that in bits and pieces, I think, over the next year. And now they're out again. So that's kind of where things stand. Sammy wrote was a blatantly honest tell-all autobiography, as I said, in 2011, which Sherry just finished today.
I did. It was amazing.
Wasn't it amazing?
Yeah.
For better or worse, though, one of the things I loved about it, and that's why as an autobiography, I really, really dug it, because not only was it a lot of personal stuff, which affects the music, it has to, but he talks a lot about, obviously, the professional career and is honest to a fault about it, I think, even about himself.
Oh,
in a
true.
Lot of situations. So what was your take on the book? Without obviously giving, well, there's nothing to give away. The story is life.
I love books that are people in general that start from nothing and then become this mega person. That's
agreed.
exactly what he was. He came from nothing and didn't let that stop him from accomplishing his dreams. There were some times I was like, damn, really? With his wife, his first wife.
Yeah, she was out there.
She was out there, but how he worked through that and how he started playing guitar and how his dad was messed up and stuff like that. It was a lot of things that just made him like a down-to-earth person. That's what I loved about it so much. Like, that was the first Audible book that I was able to kind of listen to without being like, okay, I'm bored, I'm going to take a break. Like, I had to stop myself from actually listening to it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was good. It was real good. Especially I want to say around 91, that mm-hmm. whole thing when he started partying a lot and stuff like that.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it as much as, you know, to read about it is like, I can't believe it. Like, his marriage was in the gutter.
Even though I don't like cheaters, but yeah.
I mean, he copped to it, you know, as far as everything. And then he ended up falling in love and is still with the woman who we fell in love with tonight. Yeah.
And it's this anniversary today. He posted on Instagram today. I was like,
happy anniversary, Sammy and Kari Hagar.
Yeah.
Love them. So I get in the most fights with people and have for years because there's not a big enough word. I greatly favor what's known as the Van Hagar era compared to the David Lee Roth fronted Van Halen era. I've always gotten shit from people for it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Number one, as a guitar player. Because like, how can you not? That's not it. Nobody's questioning the music.
Right.
David Lee Roth is, if you've seen Metalocalypse and you've seen Dr. Roxo, the Rock and Roll Clown. Yeah, he's pretty much based on David Lee Roth. It's pretty transparent. David Lee Roth is a total clown. Everything he says is complete nonsense.
Oh.
And I don't get the appeal of seeing the band in 2015. I mean, granted, Van Halen's a marquee name. It's going to sell tickets no matter what the lineup is. I guarantee there are tons of people who are going. I'm going to say at least a third of the people who are going to go don't know what the lineup is or don't care.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I mean, I went in 2002, I went and saw Def Leppard. It was the first time I saw them live. It was at the Spectrum in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And Def Leppard wears the Union Jack on everything. It's in all their it's on their shirts. It's in their, you know, artwork and stuff. And I never forget walking by this couple and the guy was saying to his girlfriend, wait, they're British? So it's amazing how much stuff goes over people's heads. And I'm like, you shelled out how much to go to the show? I mean, whatever. If you want to go to the show, go to the show. But the name sells it. The name Van Halen is going to sell tickets. And apparently the tickets are selling well, which I'm surprised by because I think they're the grumbling started after a series of awful live performances by the band. By David Lee Roth, not by the band. I want to distinguish specifically. I don't like David Lee Roth. Now, I admit, I own his first three solo albums. Because in his first two, Steve Vai, who I'm a huge fan of, one of my favorite guitarists, played guitar, and Billy Sheehan played bass on his third solo album. Jason Becker played guitar, who I'm a huge fan of. And shortly after they finished recording the album, struck down by ALS. And is still surviving to this day. There's a great documentary about Jason Becker. Oh, my God. Is it called Jason Becker, I'm Not Dead Yet or something like that? Look up Jason Becker documentary. If you ever feel like you, if you have a moment where you're feeling blue, here's a dude who's literally a prisoner to his own body because of ALS and has been for, coming up on 20 years. Still alive and still completely optimistic about being functional. Has an incredible sense of humor about it. Still gives interviews to guitar magazines and everything. That's and awesome. He was a fucking prodigy, too. You look at videos when he was 16 and he was amazing. Check out Jason Becker, Perpetual Burn, which is his debut solo CD. Click through the Amazon banner at chrisabal.com and pick it up. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say, we are a rare breed because a lot of people do love the David Lee Roth, just saying.
Yeah.
And just him by himself. A lot of people don't know about Haley and will know more about David Lee Roth. Mainstream wise.
Sure.
I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I was like, oh, are you Van Halen or are you Van Hagar? He was like, Van Halen. I was like, why? He was like, because David Lee Roth is a showman. Yeah, sure, Hagar can sing, but David Lee Roth had everything.
I was like, okay. He was a showman. I'm not going to take that away from him. He could do those spinning karate kicks in the air, those kind of Ryu Street Fighter II kicks. That's fine. He could do that once upon a time. Can't do that anymore. And he could do the huge jumps every time they played the song, jump. And whatever, like put on a show. That's fine. The albums, I still don't do anything for me, but also you being just a few short years younger than me, we also didn't grow up with that. Because when we were kids, well, when you were in diapers, he exited the band. When I was a kid, he left the band. So I actually grew up hearing Van Halen on the radio with Sammy Hagar, not knowing it was Van Halen. Mm-hmm. Because I'd heard Love Walks In and When It's Love and a few other songs on the radio. I think the first time I knew who Van Halen was, actually connected this song is by Van Halen, was Right Now. Which is one of the best music videos in the history of music videos. You can't argue that.
I've watched the video over the years, but I don't remember watching the video. I remember my brother listening to that.
Mm.
So, I just started elementary, so I was a little baby. But I didn't know who they were. I want to say until about 12. That's when I start hearing the David Lee Roth stuff.
Yeah. I did eventually hear Jump and saw the video.
That's when VH1 like really blew up, basically, with all the classic stuff.
Well, my early teen years, I saw, they started doing the countdowns, I think it was 4th of July, where they would go ABBA to ZZ Top.
Yeah.
And my sister and I wanted to see the Right Now video. I mean, we would watch it in blocks anyway, depending who was on. Like, we'd watch Aha, because Take On Me is a great video.
Yes.
But when they showed Van Halen, it's like you would see, they'd do Panama, and they'd play Jump. And they play Right Now, of course. I mean, they might not play every single video. I don't think they ever played the video for Feel So Good or Finish What You Started. Maybe here and there. But they wouldn't play every single video by every single artist. Mm-hmm. But the Right Now video was just so awesome. So I remember seeing Jump in Panama. And I like, you know, I get it. The videos were fun. Oh, Hot for Teacher. You know. Fun video.
No, funny. I remember that as a kid.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I remember that video.
And I get that it's two different bands. But the thing people... I think people disproportionately blame Sammy Hagar for a turn in the band. Now, here comes some unpopular opinions. Panama is an awful song. Jump is a really, really stupid song. Not musically. They make no fucking sense. Panama. Hot Shoe Burning Down the Avenue. model citizen, zero discipline. Don't you know she's coming home with me? Panama makes no sense. It makes no sense. It doesn't mean anything. And jump is stupid. And you probably laughed at this too when talking about going on the first tour with Van Halen in Sammy's book, when he was talking about how he refused to sing Jump.
Right.
Because of the lyrics. And it's true, the lyrics are stupid. Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I might as well jump. Hey, you, who said that? Baby, how you been? You won't know until you begin. It's a stupid song. It's a really, really stupid song. And for as much as people want to bitch about how much keyboards were used during the Van Hagar era, the most egregious song when it comes to use of keyboards in Van Halen song is Jump. The entire song's keyboard. Right. This is an 8-bar solo by Eddie. Yeah. But everybody knows that fucking keyboard line.
That's
more
true.
Than they do any the keyboard song, bit.
Even more than the lyrics.
Totally. Everybody recognize if that comes on at a bar or at karaoke or something, everybody knows it right away. It's as recognizable as a guitar riff.
Right. That's true.
But still people pin that on Sammy Hagar. Which interestingly, according to Eddie Van Halen, he first played the piano bit for Right Now in 1983. Mm-hmm. And as he said, someone wasn't crazy about it.
Right.
Probably because they would have had to sing with any kind of melody. Which, that's another reason I always took the Sammy Hagar stuff, was because I like songs. I like singers. That's right. My thing. People who can write songs. I mean, the showman thing is fine. And Sammy Hagar is no slouch as a showman either. You know, he's not spinning a baton and wearing assless chaps like David Lee Roth was. Right. But, you know, he was fucking great. And he was a guitar player too. So he also played a hell of a lot of guitar live. But David Lee Roth sang like a stroke victim in 1982. So he's not any better than 2015. He's awful. And this, the amount of cover, and people always talk about like, well, they did albums sold better and the songs are better, blah, blah, blah. They did so many covers during the David Lee Roth era. And David Lee Roth's solo career started with two covers by Just the Gigolo and California Girls.
Yeah.
Which is probably an afterthought. Frankly, I bet people are going to see Van Halen expecting they're going to play those songs because they probably didn't distinguish between, oh, that's David Lee Roth. That's David Lee Roth solo, not Van Halen, because they just hear his goofy kind of talk singing that drives me batshit. And they're like, oh, okay. Now, getting back quickly, we'll revisit the musical part of it, but Eddie Van Halen's Billboard interview, which has been discussed to death and picked apart. The thing that gets me, and that always comes every interview, and I even recently watched some interviews with Eddie and Alex Van Halen, which is interesting because the interviews, including the Billboard one, always on their home turf, always at 5150 Studios. They don't go anywhere to do interviews, it seems, when they're not on the road.
True.
Which is interesting. But not saying, there's nothing to be read directly into it, but, you know, there's something. There's an underlying something. Anyway, every time they do an interview, and this interview with Eddie is no exception, and you're at the interview as well, it's as if they take no responsibility, or Eddie takes no responsibility for anything. Doesn't say anything, not that he used to bring it up in every interview, but says nothing about being drunk off his ass for the entire 2004 tour. Doesn't say anything with what could have pushed Sammy or Dave out of the band. Although David Lee Roth's ego, it's well documented. His ego's way
too inflated. If anything, he talks about David's ego, which I thought was funny. I'm like, you're about to go on tour.
Totally.
With this cat.
Well, that's the first time.
And you're still talking shit? That's funny.
That's the first time I think there's been any real transparency while the band was active.
Yeah.
Because they have separate management. They have separate press.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard through the grapevine, being where we are, that when they were on Jimmy Kimmel a couple of months ago, it was they didn't arrive together. Their dressing rooms were separate and everything. They were there for the performance and that's it. And it's already the reviews from last night's show, which is up in, I believe, Seattle. Other reviews were rolling in. They're like, when they, you know, despite all the acrimony, when they hit the stage, they were full on and you tell they're having fun. Well, of course I'm having fun. They're performing live. I perform music live in front of people. You have too. Mm-hmm. I performed where I haven't known anybody else on stage. Doesn't take away from the enjoyment of doing it.
Right.
If you kind of know the person, or if you're still performing together, or there's that old feeling of, hey, remember we were doing this 40 years ago? I'm sure there's a little bit of that spark there.
Yeah.
But when they get off stage, they don't know each other. And he said, David Lee Roth doesn't want to be my friend.
Oh.
And, he, you know, the biggest thing, not really. I don't want David Lee Roth to be my friend.
I want him to be my crazy uncle, though. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I sent you a clip.
Oh, fuck. Yes.
On DJ Sway's radio show. And he just seemed like he just wanted to be so hip and so cool. And I was like, oh, man. Like, I get why people do like him because, I mean, as crazy as he is, that's the reason why people like him. They expect him to be crazy. If he was straightforward, they would be like, oh, man. But he's like, man, yeah, in the barrios.
Yeah, I grew up in the bar. You grew up in Pasadena. Like, I mean, you
and
know.
He was beatboxing. That totally. Made my day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, what I brought to Van Halen was four-part harmony. Why? You can't sing in key in the first place.
Yeah, that was so
And
funny.
There's no... For, that was the, I mean, I don't know that Alex Van Halen didn't do background vocals in the early days, but it's like, there was no... You guys aren't Queen. I don't think anyone would ever mistake Van Halen for Queen or the aforementioned Def Leppard, who where everybody can really, really sing. He didn't fucking bring that.
No.
The majority of the songs, when you listen to that first era, all the hooks are sung most of the time, or in a shitload of songs, if not most of the time, by the background vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know she's coming home with me? You'll lose her in that time. And, you know, what else? There were a bunch of everybody wants some. You know, yeah. Most of it, the big things people know are Unchained. Thought you never miss me till I got a fancy dress. Yeah, that's all the background vocals. That's not him doing his goofy talk singing. I live my life like this. No tomorrow. But he can't move anymore. He couldn't sing in the first place. And at least they were kind of being transparent about that fact, which is fine because clearly, there seems to be this sense of like Eddie says, you give the people the band they know is one of the things he says because they know the band with Roth. They also know the band with Michael Anthony and they know the band with Sammy Hagar.
Right.
And this is one of the points Eddie Trunk brought up, which is absolutely true. You can't name another band where they have to disregard a huge portion of their catalog when they go out and play.
That's so true.
Because they can't do any of the stuff they did with Sammy with Roth, which is another funny thing. Thanks to the folks at Guitar Player, I have something interesting to share with you guys. And I will post this link to this article as well at chrisabala.com. Look for Cape. Look for Cape 57. And all the links will be there. But David Lee Roth took a shot at Sammy Hagar saying that they wouldn't perform Sammy songs because there was what he said, a credibility issue about singing Sammy songs and with his usual kind of string of bullshit speaking. Why would you bring that into the proceedings? This hamburger don't need no helper. Right. Except you can't sing.
Oh, love it.
And people always bring up the statistics. Well, they sold more records with Roth. They made more records with Roth, but it's not a total, it's not a total kind of wash. So here's what was broken down. This is per the article, again, at guitarplayer.com. Roth absolutely wins the Van Halen commerce battle with 57 million sales worldwide to Sammy Hagar's 27 million. However, it took 7 albums for Roth to reach that number, while Hagar hit his mark with 4 albums. Of those 4 Hagar albums, and this is something that's often overlooked, all 4 were number one.
Right.
All 4 of them were number one albums. The highest charting albums where Van Halen was fronted by David Lee Roth were 1984 and A Different Kind of Truth, and both peaked at number 2. Roth's highest selling Van Halen albums were the first one, which, as I've said 1,000 times, that would have sold huge, regardless of who was singing, because it was all about Eddie's guitar playing and how that kind of changed the game in a lot of ways and immediately solidified him as being a guitar hero because of his innovative style. 17 million in 1984 sold 17 million. Sammy Hagar's top seller was 5150, the first album they did with him, which was 11 million.
Right.
If you take Roth's 57 million sales divided by 7 albums, the per album sales average is 8.14 million. Do the same for Sammy Hagar, divide 27 million by 4, and his per album sales average is 6.75 million. And then their fifth point, for the heck of it, let's multiply Hagar's per album sales average by the 7 Van Halen albums fronted by Roth. So yeah, since he did 4 albums at 6.75 million apiece, if you took that average and applied it to 7 albums, had they done 7 with Sammy, same amount they did with Roth, Hagar on average would have been, or rather with that average altogether would have been 47.25 million sales to Roth's 57 million, which is still a win, but not like a complete, he didn't even get shut down.
And people have to realize, too, like, the reason why Roth is bigger is because their biggest single was Jump, right? Am I right?
I think so. I mean, as far as sales, probably. I think that's probably the...
I think I read that somewhere.
That's probably the best-selling Van Halen song, period.
But a especially single compared to full-fledged albums.
Well, you know what? They also cranked out more albums with Roth because they weren't doing big-ass worldwide tours.
Right.
Which they did with Sammy.
Right.
And aside from that,
rearing
them
out.
I mean, also, if a third to half, if not more, of your album is made up of covers, you also don't need to write a hell of a lot. You can crank out an album a year like they did with Roth.
Right.
But, I mean, the live aspect, and this is something, once again, Eddie Trunk has always said for years, and is a fact. When they toured on 1984, they were doing 8 songs in 2 hours. They do a song, and everybody in the band got a solo, which Eddie gets a solo. That's a given. Mm-hmm. But drum solo, bass solo. Mm.
Right.
Anyway, Roth would talk in between all the songs, and it's questionable whether he's a better talker than a singer. He talks more than he sings, that's for sure. Generous to call him a singer. But regardless, who knows what would have happened had they gotten someone else in the band, first of all, to sing. And had it been someone who didn't have the vision and the chops to do it either. I mean, part of the reason I think, which is one of the... It wasn't a big reveal, but when they did the last time with David Lee Roth, A Different Kind of Truth, which was critiqued heavily. I'll put that link at chrisabala.com as well under this post, this episode post. We did. The only podcast that matters did a short show, usually twice a month, called Halfcast. We did one called A Better Kind of Truth, where we talked about what was going on in Van Halen circa 2012 and the album. And playing some of it for our friend Corey, who only knew the Van Hagar stuff because that's what we would play. And didn't know much from David Lee Roth, and we played some of the songs for him, and it was pretty funny. But it's 20-something minutes long. I haven't listened to it recently, but it was pretty funny. When they did that album, it was made up of old riffs and things that had been written a long time ago, which they probably would have had to do, because with Sammy, and even with Gary Cherone, Eddie Van Halen hadn't written in a confined key for such a long time.
Right.
He kind of had to use old songs because his writing, I'm sure, advanced beyond what were Roth's limits. So it makes sense he went back and dug up old riffs and they used old things because he probably hadn't written stuff that was so... that was limited to certain keys. And a lot, they probably had to go back to stuff he wrote when Roth was in the band the first time.
Absolutely. I see that.
When it comes to the... see, the thing is, they're about to... I believe it's next week. No, I think it's this Friday. It's soon. They already reissued new remastered versions of the first album in 1984. And they're doing it for the rest of the Roth catalog as well. And they're all also re-released on vinyl within the last few years. They've never once re-released or remastered any of the 4 albums with Sammy. Or 5, if you include the live one.
Being haters.
But on top of that, the annoying thing about this band is that they do... they seem to only, one, get a singer when they're promoting... Or get one of the singers back when they have something to promote. And
exactly.
That promoting also goes hand in hand with reissuing old stuff. They did a best of, which was fine, in 96, which included Humans Being, which is a song Van Halen did for Twister with Sammy, and 2 new songs with Roth. Didn't tour or anything like that, but that's kind of a cash grab, which has, you know, a collection of the singles, essentially, from both eras. And then when they reunited with Sammy in 2004, another Best of Collection, 2 CD collection with more songs on it, basically all of them from the first Best of album, and 3 new ones with Sammy, which are awful. I listened to them again recently, so I was like, maybe I just didn't dig them at the time. No, they're bad. Because the riffs and everything, it's just not that great.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I don't know. And the details about what it took to record them, everything, are in Sammy's book as well, which is, once again, can't emphasize how fascinating it is. Also, A Portrait of a Bygone Era, because that huge arena rock era and everything that went into the 80s and into the 90s doesn't really exist anymore, or exists on a smaller scale, for sure, and for less bands. So for a guy who...
I don't think it exists anymore.
Yeah,
period.
I don't think so either. But
that's
for that peak, though, it's a great portrait of that, and that's one of the reasons I was so fascinated by it, too. But they just reissue old stuff. Even with remastering the old Roth albums, it's, by all accounts, the archives, the Van Halen band archives, period, from all these decades, loaded with unreleased tracks. Why couldn't they do, like, a 2-disc reissue of the first few albums, or even do it with the Sammy albums, and put out some unreleased songs? There must be stuff that was just left on the table. The only band I know who leaves no songs behind when they record an album is Rush. Every other band tends to have stuff left over that didn't make it, or demo versions, or whatever. They could do 2-disc versions and throw in a couple of tracks
that nobody's heard.
And instead of reselling everybody the same crap again and banking on that people are going to buy it yet again, people who bought them on CD, I think the first remasters were 2002, when they remaster the Roth era stuff? Probably because the band had nothing going on and needed some income, if they had a hand in it at all. Maybe not. Could have been the record label. Anyway, there have been reissues recently by, they're still doing it for Led Zeppelin. Each album has a disc of unreleased stuff, and the Rolling Stones just did it with Sticky Fingers. Like, everybody does that, and rather than selling you the same exact album you already own, at least they're giving you a reason to double down. That makes more sense to me than to just release the same stuff.
Unless you're being perfectionist.
I doubt it. I mean, I particularly love remasters, period, for the Sammy albums. Who knows if that's ever going to happen, but I think there must be, there are recordings, because I know Sammy has a cassette, and Michael Anthony has said he has a cassette, the first time they jammed with Sammy before he officially joined the band, when they were just playing riffs, they had summer nights, and I don't think it's Best of Both Worlds. Oh, Good Enough, which is the first song off 5150. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, for some reason, there seems to be like almost a liquidation of CDs going on right now. At least that's my theory. So I recommend everybody right now, click through the Amazon banner, chrisabala.com, and buy Van Halen 5150 and OU812, as in the letters and numbers, mm-hmm. not the actual statement. Because right now, Amazon, for some reason, has them for $2.99 each on CD. Yeah, and I told you about it, and you bought them because you didn't have them already.
Yeah.
And but a bunch of other CDs, too, stuff by like ZZ Top and Foreigner, like a bunch of albums that are like $2.99, $3.99 on CD, which... My only guess, I've had this theory for a while, because a bunch of CDs, like you go to Best Buy and there's a huge like $4.99 CD section. I think because CDs aren't selling as well as they used to, and will never sell as
well
as they
used to. Even though they sound better, but that's an engineered thing.
Well, no, I know you know that. That's a whole other, we can spend an hour on that too. But I think this is it for these CDs. I think they're not going to be pressed anymore, and the record labels are liquidating what they have, and then that's it. It's just going to be digital. That's my theory. So get them while you can get them. I recommend you get those two because they're $2.99 anyway. Why not? Just get them and check them out. Anyway, back to Eddie's Billboard interview. He says that the 2004, the Sammy stories from that tour were embellished. If he was that drunk, would he remember?
No.
Probably not. Probably not. He also said alcohol has never affected his work, except he says he may have been an angry drunk around 2004. Yeah, he probably was. But, I mean, he's known for having been an alcoholic for a long time, and that's fine. But it seems like not even... I was an alcoholic. It messed things up for me for a while. I mean, apparently Valerie Bertinelli, his first wife, had a lot to say about it in her books, or at least her autobiography, which I've never read. So I don't know the details. But, like, even just to say, yeah, it messed things up, and now I'm clean, and I'm ready to get down to this and whatever. But it just, it seems like he doesn't take responsibility. Even like when it comes to, you know, he said he knew it wasn't going to work with Gary Cherone when he saw his stage clothes. He said that was the moment he said he knew it wasn't going to work with them, which just to take a turn for Van Halen 3 for a moment. I didn't hate that as much as people did.
I maybe heard it once in life. I can't comment on it.
I like the singles. I thought Without You was a cool song and Fire in the Hole were cool songs. And they were similar enough to Sammy era songs in as much as they were more screamers. They were in a higher register mm-hmm. than you would hear. And because Gary Cherone has that. And frankly, there are some Van Halen fans who regard that era as being the best representation of the band because they played a ton of the Roth era stuff and a ton of the Sammy era stuff and the new stuff mm-hmm. when they went out and toured. So there are fans who consider that to be almost, or like a, let's say an underappreciated period for the band, which which is funny too. I mean, if Eddie didn't think it wasn't going to work because of stage clothes, he must not have heard Van Halen 3 or hasn't listened back to it since. I mean, I remember seeing back, maybe you remember this, in the 90s, especially the late 90s. I don't remember exactly when it started. Do you remember MTV had the 10 spot and they would show concerts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing...
When they actually play music? What?
It wasn't that long ago that they were showing, like, broadcasting concerts. And by bands, even a band like Van Halen, who was in their 40s at that point, save for Gary. I remember them doing it. I don't remember where the show was, and I'm sure you could probably find it on YouTube or something, but it was a concert they did, and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. I wasn't interested in seeing it, and I knew when the split happened, which I couldn't believe when it did happen, when Sammy left, because I'd grown to love that band, that incarnation of the band, and still do. But I couldn't believe, aside from the fact I couldn't believe it happened, I knew immediately I was going to be way more interested in what Sammy was going to be doing than I was that Van Halen's going to be doing, which, as you heard at the beginning of this show, is a quote from an interview with Eddie and Alex in 1996, which was Eddie saying his work ethic sucked. Well, let's take stock for a moment. Something else that I'm sure has been well documented, but just for laughs, just because I'm such a huge Sammy Hagar fan. Since Sammy was booted out of the band in 1996, he has released 8 solo albums, 2 live albums, 2 live DVDs, technically 3, because one is a documentary / live concert DVD from his 2000 tour, co-headlining tour with David Lee Roth, which is a whole other thing. and also has done 2 albums with this band Chickenfoot and did a live DVD with them as well, and just released a live album with his current band, Sammy Hagar and the Circle, which is him and Michael Anthony, Vic Johnson from his solo band, and Jason Bonham, son of John Bonham, from Led Zeppelin on drums. So all in, how many, let's just go by albums, has released 13 albums since then. Van Halen have released 3, including the live album that just came out, which was recorded 2 years ago. Sammy's work ethic sucked. I mean, it just doesn't hold water. And you know what? With looking at these recent interviews and everything on YouTube, as everybody knows, YouTube comments tends to be the the breeding ground for the most vile, disgusting, awful comments and arguments on the internet. Aside from maybe Reddit. But I've seen a lot, and I mean a lot of comments on almost every video I've watched, whether it was something an interview featuring Sammy or not. But a lot of fans saying, I was always into Roth. I never appreciated Sammy in the band. But in 2015, I'll take Sammy over Roth in that band because Sammy can still sing. Roth can't sing, which brings us to let's play a little something from the live album, which I don't own. But I pulled up legitimately and listened to for you, dear listener and viewer. I pulled up because I wanted to hear. I hadn't heard anything from this live album. And I thought, all right, we're going to talk about it. Let's look at the evidence. Here's Unchained, which is the opening track, minus the big drum and guitar playing intro of the song, or intro of the concert. Let's hear how David Lee Roth sounds, shall we? Singing in 2015 where he can't do his spinning kicks and everything else. Let's see exactly how he sounds singing live in 2015 when, well, it's up for debate. And once again, this is... I didn't pirate this or anything. This is streaming via YouTube, which was, you know, through Warner Brothers. Let's have a listen, see how he sounds. Just the look on Sherry's face is amazing. Let's see if the second verse gets any better, shall we?
He sounds like me on Friday night.
Yeah.
After I listen to after I was drinking.
This is tragic. All right, that's enough. Now, either David Lee Roth took an Ambien 35 minutes before they hit the stage, or he can't fucking sing.
Maybe a little bit of both.
No. He can't sing. Let's listen to a song everybody knows and see if this is any good. How do you find the perfect... Hang on a second. There's an ad playing, so I don't want to play that on the air.
Get your shit together.
Even though it's an ad for Amazon, so, you know.
Hey, there you go.
Click the Amazon banner at chrisabalo.com once again. Yes. Anyway, let's listen to a song everybody knows and see if this sounds any good. They're encore. Now, at this point, the show's over. You got everybody's money.
That's right.
A bunch of people have left to beat the traffic. So maybe it doesn't need to be that good.
No, they wanted to hear this song.
But it's
they
like,
waiting for hours.
The biggest song.
For this
song.
Gosh.
I thought that, which is one of the things I hate about the encore. Oh, I didn't think they were going to play it. Oh, they're back. Oh, my God, they're playing it. Exactly. Encores are so phony, so I wish the encore thing would end. But let's see. Maybe it's like, the show's over. Maybe he's going to give it a little bit of gusto. Let's see how this sounds.
Yeah.
better than getting your teeth drilled.
But what key is he singing?
I don't know.
He's all over the fucking road in this song. And this lyrics are so fucking dumb. I'm sorry. All right, that's enough. I'm not going to put you all through any more of that.
But that was fun.
Now, fun my ass. People, it's fun laughing at it. People have praised the live album in one sense because they said, oh, it's raw. That's how the band sounds. Well, the problem is that's how the band sounds. So that's what you're going to hear when you go see the show. He can't do all the big acrobatics and whatever they used to do. And I get it. He's a showman and that's why people love him. But now what's he going to do when he sounds like that at 60? I mean, that's what people are going to hear this summer. That's what it's going to sound like at best.
True that.
It's awful. It's really, you know, like I said, you can barely sing anyway. And I know that was never the highlight of Van Halen in the first place. It was seeing them live. It was Eddie's guitar playing. I get that. Just the counterpoint, because not as many people know the song. So let's do a little compare.
Oh, that's my jam.
Compare a little Once Upon a Time, Sammy Hagar, with how he sounds currently, which... While the little instrumental intro is happening right now, if David Lee Roth does not want to be your friend, Eddie Van Halen, Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony have no ill will against you. As they've said, they would be willing, if you want to put everything behind you, they both said they would put everything behind them and go back and join the band, do a tour. Why not tour with someone who actually wants to and who wants to put the past in the past and go out and do it again for the fans for the right reasons and who can still bring it live? Why not do that instead of going out with David Lee Roth, who clearly doesn't give a fuck? Listen to that live recording. It's awful.
I like this little part.
Yeah, I do too.
This was one of the first songs that I heard from him in 2006.
Oh, really?
Made me fall in love.
Yeah. Well, it's such a great song. And, oh, well, we'll get that in a second. The vocals.
Even though
about
I never bought their albums, I was like, he sounds.
Now you have.
Yeah.
Just a little more volume. Some pretty high singing right there, isn't it?
That's great.
Yeah, it is great. Wonder what Sammy Hagar sounds like now. Let's find out, shall we? Sammy, as I said, is touring with. Actually, we might go see him. We're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Indio in September, right? Everybody's coming around the next few months. Sherry and I are going nuts. Like, who are we going to go see again? When are we going to go see them?
When is this?
Yeah, it's coming up. Now, to be fair, but again, Sammy can still sing. This song, the live version they're doing now, and he has for a while, and you heard those high notes. This is a half step down. I believe the song is originally in D, so they're playing it in D flat, I believe. Which is fine, because if you sing it in key, you can sing it in key. That's fine.
But he's older. He's like in his late 60s.
Right now he's 67. Right now, Sammy Hagar is 67 years old. And right now, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to tie into the video. So this is last year or this year. No, I'm sorry. This was recorded last year. So he was 66 or 67, mm-hmm. depending when this concert was. Mm-hmm. And David Lee Roth, what you just heard, by the way, was 58 at the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, one more thing. When Van Halen was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2007, did you know that? Do you know who showed up at the ceremony to accept the award?
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony.
I remember
that. That's right. The guys who the fucking band's named after didn't even show up.
They were mad.
Yeah, and they completely blew it off. But who showed up? The guy who they let go of the band. Let's listen to Sammy now. Here come those high notes. Oh. What, singing on key? Wait a second.
Yeah, what?
Huh, wow. What a change. Can you imagine people going out to a Van Halen show and hearing the song sung properly?
Imagine that.
Imagine that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I don't know. I really wish the band would get back together with him. And I just, look, I have no love for Daily Roth. I make no secret about that.
Oh.
I don't, I appreciate
I'll have a drink or two with him, but that's it. That's,
well, it's also not my, it's not my era. I didn't grow up with him, as I said. Right. And, you know, it, I like singers. I like guys who can sing and perform. Sammy's a musician. And has had more of a career without Van Halen than David Roth certainly has. And just, I don't know. It's
And he makes a good tequila.
Yeah, he does. Cabo Agua tequila is probably what you might know him best for. Because if you're over 21, you've probably had Cabo Agua tequila. And it rocks. Holy crap, we're out of time. Wow.
What?
Yeah. What kind of garbage is this? No, I'm kidding. I can do this for 2 hours, believe me. Is there? I realize I've been talking most of the time. Is there anything you want to say about it? Any thoughts? Anything? You also recommend Sammy's book then?
I recommend it.
Okay, good. Audibletrial.com/cape.
Audibletrial.com/cape.
And also, really quickly, one final plug. Razors are expensive. If you spent a lot of money to see what's likely to be an underwhelming Van Halen show, well, then you don't want to spend extra money on razors. So what's the solution? Dollar Shave Club.
Get some for women.
That's right. Well, you can use the razors. If you're a woman, you can use the same razors I do. They're blades. It doesn't matter. They don't need to be pink or purple.
It does matter to me. Okay.
Their effectiveness is the most important thing.
Yes, true that.
That's what matters. For as little as $1 a month, get razors delivered to your door every month. Check something else off the list that you don't need to worry about. Get razors delivered to your door if you didn't hear me the first time. And they also have grooming products and shaving products. All sorts of cool stuff. So go to dollarshaveclub.com/cape. And sign up. I use it. I shave every day. So I use Dollar Shave Club. I have been using them for, it's coming up on 2 years. I'm a big fan. I'm thrilled they're a sponsor. So do it. Get yourself some quality razors. Don't overspend. Shave time. Shave money. Dollar Shave Club. All right. I could keep going on and on and on about all this. But that live version, by the way, from the album At Your Service by Sammy Hagar and The Circle. You can also get that on Amazon. And once again, support the show. Click through the Amazon banner, crystalbottle.com. And pick that up. Pick up OU812 and 5150 from Van Halen.
Yay.
And if you want a Sammy Hagar solo collection that's really great, I recommend Unboxed, which is 10 tracks and 2 new tracks from Sammy's 80s solo career, which is great. And it's the same thing. It's like $5 maybe on Amazon or $6. Pick that up too if you like singers and you like songs. If you like David Lee Roth, I don't know what to tell you, but I've gotten in more fights with people who are just like, oh, you know that's not Van Halen. I'm like, well, it is a version of Van Halen. In all seriousness, as much as I can criticize, though, I hope they get back together. I hope they put the past in the past and they do a tour or they do a couple of shows or something. I mean, why not do a show? Like I said, I'm going to say it one more time for my own benefit, if not for the bands, because I know they're listening. Why not go out and tour and give the people a show that they're going to enjoy with somebody who wants to be in the band, who wants to perform with you? Doesn't mean you need to go make an album. Doesn't mean you need to drive around the country in a Fiat together or anything like that. But you can go out and play shows. You know the guy's going to kick ass live. Sammy, as you just heard, still kicks ass.
Yes.
In his late 60s, again. I mean, the guy's more than twice as old as I am. I don't sing that good now.
If they play Spank, I still get excited.
Yeah. Spanked is one of, well, it's a stripping number, which I didn't know about. I thought you were going to say finish what you started.
Oh.
I was expecting that. That's a great tune. But anyway, I hope they figure something out. I hope Michael Anthony and Sammy Hagar can play with the Van Halen brothers again. I hope they do something, if not a full-on tour, which, hey, maybe this tour will implode. I'm not hoping for it, but it could happen. It could absolutely happen. This tour with Dave could implode and could get out of control. Or the camps could be fighting against each other because he's got his own, like I said, management. They've got theirs. There could be issues. It could happen. I'm not saying I hope for it. But if you're going to see the show, I hope you get your money's worth. But, man, it's a compelling case. I think overall, Sammy Hagar's got the due that he's deserved when it comes to his contribution to Van Halen. And just as an artist, period, which makes me very, very happy. All right, we're out of here. until next week. We're running a little bit over time, but thank you all for listening. You can, of course, follow the show at Kate Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr. Like the show on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. Please spread the word and check out all the sponsors at chrisabala.com/support the show. And this wonderful song, by the way, is the best Van Hagar, my favorite Van Hagar song, Pound Cake.
Yes.
Go get that if you don't get an album. This is from For a Lawful Carnal Knowledge.
It's a panty dropper.
Fuck, it's a total panty dropper. This should be issued to strippers at orientation along with Back in Black by AC/DC. Anyway, once again, like the show. Five stars iTunes. Subscribe. Tune in next week. Until then, for Sherry Bass, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
My friendship and the songs and music we made makes up for all of that if he would be willing to, you know, say, hey, let's let it go.